you talking?
We would have gone undefeated, too, if we played middle school level competition the whole year.
What are you talking about today?
The play clock's running. Look at me. The play clock's running. You understand what I'm talking about?
It's Mouth Off Monday. Let Doug and Jason know what's on your mind. Call 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, or text 44-1140 and Mouth Off.
Let's go. Let's do it. It is that time. It's Monday, 3 o'clock. Welcome into a new week of shows. Jason Ross, Doug Christie, ready to roll here on KHK. What's up, DC?
You got it, baby. What's happening?
A good weekend?
Yeah. Play with our guy, Jimmy.
Oh, the ringer.
The ringer. Speaking of that, I got a hat for you in the car.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Brickhouse?
Yeah.
Jimmy took care of us.
He said this is for Jason. He's a traveler. He shot an 81. I shot an 88.
Yeah, whoa.
At the ridge.
The ringer was, the ridge is difficult.
Yeah. The ridge, it chews us up and spits us out. Oh, yeah. Before we get started, NBA world champion, Sacramento Kings.
Start the week that way.
Yeah, you are all welcome. Thank you. And God bless you and not good night yet. Yes.
Put it out there. Put it in existence.
Oh, yeah. Every day, once a day. And if I forget, YouTubers, holla at your boy.
Yeah, remind him.
Yeah.
Put it out there. Put it in existence.
Oh, come on with it. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. Not, you know, like all weekends. Not enough, you know, not a weekend. It was quick.
Yeah.
But really kind of a relaxing weekend, which is rare for my family. Just kind of chill.
A's, 1-3, unfortunately.
1-2.
1-2, excuse me. Your New York Yankees, 2-1. Uh-huh. Atta boy, I see you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're doing your thing. Yeah.
A's and Mariners coming up later this week.
Yeah.
We got A's baseball tonight. They will be taking on the Angels. We'll be talking about that today. Obviously, the NBA Finals. What a series. It's been fun.
It has.
Get into that.
There's a lot.
There's a ton.
There is a ton, man. My Uzi weighs a ton. Yeah, it's going to be a public enemy.
Yes.
Just throw it out there from time to time, my friend.
Congratulations to Jason. Predicting the Bucks and six.
Why is he doing that?
The Bucks and six. Okay, well, that's
Jason said it.
Okay.
And that's what's going to happen.
That's going to happen? That's what he said?
That's what Chris said.
Did you say Bucks and six?
I did before, but I'm not.
Okay.
I can tell you what I want now.
I said.
So three cheers for Jason.
I said Suns and six. I'm wrong.
You are?
Yeah.
Chris said Suns and four.
Oh, he's very wrong.
But now I'm saying Bucks and six.
Jay had Bucks and seven.
Oh, Jay had Bucks. Now? So you guys are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Still could be Suns and seven.
You could be spot on.
No.
Like bullseye.
It's Bucks and six. Congratulations. Take the compliment, Jason.
Wait till the game's
over. Is he saying that to...
You know he has an agenda.
Make it... Exactly.
I have an agenda.
Yeah, you always have an agenda.
When do I ever have an agenda?
So why wouldn't specifics. You wait till the game's
so
over?
So political is he. Yeah.
Is it... They did win in six?
Yeah, basically.
Why?
What is basically anyway? What is that?
It's the same.
Well, basically is like...
It's almost the same.
Is that what
it's
it means?
Basically the same.
Okay.
So they did win in six. It's over?
Yeah.
Basically.
Basically.
Is that what basically means?
Mm-hmm.
Almost the same?
Yeah.
Well, I hope I'm wrong.
I'll remember that as the show goes on.
I want seven games. So I'm rooting for the Suns.
Me too,
now.
Basically.
Yeah. Basically, me too. Basically, we're going till six. Basically, we got a full week of shows. Also coming up on the show today, obviously, we will talk a lot about the NBA Finals. Chris did watch Space Jam 2.
Did he?
We're going to get his movie review.
Oh.
Yeah.
You guys didn't?
No. Huh. I did not.
No.
You did, huh, Chris?
I did.
You spend your money or did you get it illegally?
No, it's on HBO Max.
I didn't ask you that. Just to answer the question, bro.
I didn't pay money to go see it.
Basically, it was free.
It was free.
Okay. Yeah, I want to hear your review because then we'll have to check it out.
So,
what did you think of the first Space Jam, DC?
I liked it.
Were you in the first Space Jam?
Nope.
Okay.
Were you in the second one?
Nope.
Wow. Spoiler, Jason.
Maybe I'll be in the third one.
Basically. Yes. Also today we will have
almost the same.
We will begin our NBA draft player profiles. People that could be in that general area of the Sacramento Kings who are picking at 9.
Yes.
They also pick 39. So today we will chronicle a player coming up at 4. We're going to look at Josh Giddey.
I am so giddy. Okay. That's going to be a thing.
Is this Friday yet?
No, we got a whole week of shows, buddy. Aren't you feeling so giddy about that?
As long as you're laughing, DC.
Pretty much all the time. That's kind of how I feel like I try to be a happy person. Try to enjoy myself, especially when I come in here.
Yeah.
I feel all giddy.
There you go.
Yeah.
We will talk about him coming up at 4 o'clock. Josh Giddy.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm giddy too.
Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining located inside at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. But let's do it. Let's start you out with First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First.
I popped.
Well, DC, we got to go here. We hadn't had to go here in a while, but COVID, and basically the Olympics. We'll tie it into the Olympics because we've had a couple other things with the Yankees and the Red Sox last week. But, I mean, this is starting Friday with the opening ceremony. Zach LaVine is the latest to be put under COVID protocol. As the team was getting ready basically to take off to Tokyo, you have a gymnast that's an alternate that has tested positive. Coco Gauff, who was set to play in the Olympics, now will not, has tested positive. And there's others that are reportedly basically at the Olympic, at the Olympic Village, and this stuff is happening. So we're not out of the woods, and I, you know, the Olympics has now banned fans. Man, this is this is dicey.
It is, and I would say this also. Zach was playing some good basketball. I don't know if you watch any of the games, but he was playing some really solid basketball. This is unfortunate on so many fronts. When you talk about gymnasts, the track and field, was it Jay that sent the no sex beds?
Yes.
Yeah, no sex beds. Did you see those? Those are cardboard.
Allegedly.
That's fake news.
Yeah, they're saying that's fake now.
Oh, it is.
Do you see the guy jumping on it?
Those are the double ply cardboard.
Jokes. Double ply cardboard?
Yeah. You get the little flimsy cardboard, you could be in trouble. This is a thing, man. I don't know if reports have come out, and I don't know that we will get them, Jason, of how many people have been vaccinated. And are these the people that are getting COVID? Because it's also been shown that you can be vaccinated and still get COVID. You just don't have all the different things that come along with it, like harming you as an individual, but you can still pass it on. Like I said before, at the beginning of this, we don't know what we don't know. Now we're going that second kind of lap around, and this is affecting the Olympics. You think it might shut something down?
I don't know. Like, here's the report, at least on Zach LaVine, just to put that out there. He was placed under health and safety protocols, will not travel with the team to Tokyo today. Now, they're hoping he's able to join the team in Tokyo later this week. Now, I'm trying to read between the lines here. Maybe he was vaccinated and has tested positive. Maybe symptoms. I don't know. Again, without knowing for certain, but I believe if he wasn't vaccinated, he's probably out 14 days and he's.
Could it have been belated trace contacting from
Grant
and Bradley Beal?
Could be, but then you start to go, aren't they all around each other? And even on Saturday before game 5 of the finals, you're hearing about a Bucks assistant when they said Thanasis Antetokounmpo. I'm like, are we getting a major, major story here? Well, it was those two and I think one other person on, kind of on the edges, but man.
So you just have to think, okay? When we, as great as it looks at the finals, what we're watching outside and what we're watching inside, we got to keep the players as safe as possible. That would be bad. If like Giannis or Chris Paul.
When Paul already had this happen.
Yes, that comes up. But I'm saying at this particular time. Now, here's what he did have to miss two games, I believe.
Game two of the Clippers.
The Clipper series. So they were able to get by. This is a different animal, and I know that the NBA has to be taking some strict protocols right now and trying to make sure whether it's traveling parties, how they're traveling in their hotels, all the different things. They have been through this before in the bubble. They've been through it in starting the season, trying to make sure. So, and then kind of loosened up a little bit as vaccinations started happening, trying to get to a percentage threshold so that people can come to the games. But we're kind of running into it again.
Yeah, and that league specifically, is the finish line's here. I mean, if it goes 7, it ends Thursday.
Yes.
If it ends tomorrow night. But they are right there. And this on the same day, kind of lumping this all together about COVID and the Olympics, but even COVID in general, the SEC biggest football conference, had their media day today. And their commissioner, Greg Sankey, said this, Doug. He said, we're not in a time anymore. We're going to reschedule games this fall. And basically throwing down the gauntlet, it is up to teams to get vaccinated. If they don't have enough, they may have to forfeit. And right now, six of the 14 SEC teams have reached that 80% vaccination threshold. So they're not all there. That's eight teams that aren't. Again, it gets back to, can you mandate it? Probably not. But can you put a, as you want to play football? You want to go to the Olympics? You want to compete in your sport? You want to get your paycheck? I don't know. Someone could fight that as a lawyer, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But also as a league, as an entity, as a company, as a, you want your production to keep going. You don't want to stop down because of COVID. I just don't know where that line is.
It's so hard to say from the standpoint, Jason, that I've said this to you many times. Is there ever going to be a time that it's like, listen, you want your job?
Right.
If you do, do it. If you don't, don't. That could be something that we see and we face at some point. Especially when you start talking about the company and the lifeblood and the lifeline of the company's survival as opposed to individuals. And if that's the route they go, I think you're right. Legally, you may see some different things, but what I do know is what's going to happen in that very fast present. That individual, that person is not going to be a part of it. Now, down the line, they may sue them, things may come, but yeah, all of these things, we don't know what we don't know. All of that is fair playing on the plate because we just don't know. This is uncharted territory, but we about to learn what to say. You going to learn today?
Right.
You going to learn today.
Yeah, I got to believe. I mean, I'm thinking, how would it be different than, okay, Doug's grocery store and your specific grocery store is mask mandated.
Mm-hmm.
That's because this is yours. And so if you're coming in here, my employees are wearing them. People who are buying my groceries, you have to wear them. Now, the second you step out, do what you want.
Right.
So I don't know, in that same line of thinking, can that be, you want to play Major League Baseball? You want to play in the NFL? You want to play in the NBA? I don't know. Again, I think that's where you get to, some people don't believe in it, and I get that. But can a lawyer or someone else really fight that and take this to a place that, like you said, I think is ultimately going to happen at someplace. Somebody's going to fight it somewhere.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I think that in a lot of these, you can start your own non-vaccinated league. That's going to, go with that. But as far as this goes, I think that you're going to see the percentage obviously tipping toward. Was there criticism of somebody? Was it the Dallas Cowboys? Was it somebody that was being criticized for the percentages of vaccination? Did you see that article? I want to say it was the Cowboys. Like, I guess
Mike Irvin.
Mike Irvin was ex Hall of Famer. Yeah. What exactly did he say? Because I saw the headline. I didn't read the actual story.
It's basically, do you want to play football or do you not want the vaccine?
Okay. Yeah, and I think that that's going to be along the lines of where we go. Like, you either do or you don't.
Right.
And that's kind of where we're at with these talking about the Olympics. I would say that this is going to be a trial period for everybody going forward, to be honest with you, because this is, think of that. Think of this. This is a sample of the world.
True.
In one place, just happens to be that it's falling on a year where everyone is going to come to one place. Like, no better time to kind of try to figure out what we're doing and where we're going, not as a country, but as a world.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do and where we're going to go? There are going to be some people who fight against it, and you will not probably be invited to the Olympics and Olympic Village. That is going to be your sole choice.
Yeah, this is going to be a challenging Olympics for many reasons. Not only that, but no fans, family members can't go to these events. I mean, this
man, is... did you watch at all the Olympic trials in Oregon?
Yeah.
Did you see the girl break the 400-meter hurdle record?
That.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What'd she run? 49, something. Oh, looked like at the end, and she kind of looked over at the clock as she was crossing the line. I was thinking, like, you got a little bit more in you, sister. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was. There was a lot of good stuff. I mean, why I love those is because you've tried for for usually, and now longer, you've poured your life in. You can see it on the athletes' faces.
Well, and that's what the other sidebar of this, like, obviously, this is what you try to peak for this. And imagine if it's COVID that derails you.
Yeah.
Man.
There was a guy in the 100 and 200 that combined, he missed the Olympics in both by like
fractions,
15 hundredths of a second.
In both, total.
Yeah. Painful. Oh, my God.
Painful.
Painful, man. Yeah. Yes.
All right, let's get you a more First Things First.
First Things First.
0-2, swing and a bouncer to short. In to pick it up, Estrada straightens up now and throws to first for the out. And that's the ball game.
Yeah, that was a highlight yesterday from the Giants as they got a win. They got a victory yesterday. And so now San Francisco gets ready for a series against the Dodgers as the Giants lost yesterday. I was thinking they lost 2-1 yesterday, but a big series, DC, a 4-game set against LA. And so everybody's been impressed with what the Giants have done. They did lose 2 of 3 to the Cardinals, but the Dodgers are one back as they begin this 4-game series.
Oh, man, that's going to be big. Giants 58-34. Dodgers 58-36. My prediction, do you remember what that was? My bold prediction, as Jay asked for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they started out 1-2.
Yep. And 7 of their next 10. So this 4 is against the Dodgers, then 3 with Pittsburgh, then 3 with LA again.
Ooh.
So 7 of 10 against the Dodgers, and that can swing you way or the other.
Most definitely. If the Dodgers go and own them, or listen.
They could own them.
Yeah, they definitely could. The Giants could do the same thing. Or even if they split and they kind of keep it 500, it keeps them in the mix. They've been impressive. But watch out for the Christie prediction.
Yeah, exactly. The other one as well, it's the Angels and A's. Mm-hmm. They begin tonight. They only play 2-game series, but Mike Trout's supposed to be coming back. And, oh, by the way, Shohei Ohtani is hitting and pitching tonight.
Yeah, we helped you out. We sent him to you. We spanked him a couple times.
You guys got 2 of 3, right?
That's pretty. Don't act like you didn't know. You didn't.
I knew.
You didn't pay attention. I know. Yeah. I know you did. Yeah. So we usually hook the A's up. We're friend. It's like a friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a friendly. Yeah.
Just get them ready to go.
Yeah. Get them ready.
So yeah, Giants and Dodgers for 4, Angels and A's. You know, with such a long season, but these are the games. These are good series. These are important series, really, for that Giants Dodgers setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, that was it. 5-game set, but that started before. Oof. Come on, M's. Get at it, baby.
M's and A's coming up later this week.
Leave my squad alone, man.
Okay.
Don't start.
You don't want me to fire off the Mariners minute?
It's not time.
Okay. Let me know when. You never know when.
No.
Yeah.
Don't.
Okay.
First things first.
First things first.
More on the A's. A's in the ballpark vote. That's kind of where things are supposed to be going for tomorrow. DC, I don't know if everything will be resolved as quickly as that, but I don't know. I'm usually an optimistic person on these kind of things. I certainly was, and nervous all at the same time with stuff regarding the Kings and this, but just based on Oakland's lack of success in keeping the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
I don't really know if they were going to keep the Warriors all along. I think San Francisco, I mean, that's going to be part of their resume, losing the Warriors, but with what Vegas has to offer, what other cities would have to offer, and the lack of getting this done before for Oakland doesn't make me as optimistic, let's say.
What do you think Commissioner Manfred could do? Because that's I know the article that Chris sent, and I looked over it. Like, what do you think is the ability of a commissioner in this? And we saw, obviously with Sacramento Kings and everything that went on, is this something that he can step in and make sure that they stay there? Will they have to figure out a way that baseball puts up some of the money to try to build a new state? Like, where could they go for him to get a resolution without saying, you know what, I don't see a resolution with Oakland. Go ahead. You're free to move.
Yeah, I think, well, based on what's going on now with Manfred, he's basically here to answer to the ownership, to A's ownership, to the rest of ownership in baseball. That's who he's looking out for. He's not looking out for Oakland.
Okay.
But if that happens to be Oakland getting their part done that works in partnership with what the A's want, then they'll stay in Oakland. I guess what I'm saying is what was different here is obviously at that time the Maloofs wanted to sell, were willing to sell, were willing to go to Seattle. But then when the other group basically showed, hey, look, this is a great city. We want to be here. Let us buy the team. I think that's where Stern kind of helped and assisted. But I don't know if Manfred's that enamored with what Oakland is right now.
Right. So you're saying, like, Commissioner Stern, like, since somebody came to the table, he was like, everybody hold on. Let's give them the opportunity.
Yeah, because, the argument is, like, separating us from this, but if the Kings went to Seattle, that probably would have raised the value of every team in the league, more so than it even did. Though they sold the team, and, it's a great market. That was going to be Ballmer. That was going to be
A
big-time wealthy investor in a good area. You're worried about a park here. If you get a brand-new place in Vegas, does that just elevate everybody?
Right.
So, truth be told, best for baseball might be Vegas. It's not good for the fans here.
Wow. That
the
that
only
is...
problem I could see as an owner for the A's going to Vegas is that MLB no longer gives the A's money because they're in a big market and they're saying
you don't need the help.
You don't need the help. If they go to Vegas, now they could say we're in a smaller market now. We're no longer in Oakland. We need the help. And so if baseball were to say that, it's like, if I'm an owner, I think, you need to make a deal with Oakland. And we've been talking about expansion anyways. We're going to make more from two teams buying expansion fees than we would instead of giving you money to go to Vegas.
To take a city that we would like for. So if they expand to Portland and Vegas, they're already going to increase everybody's value. And you maybe get the new park in Oakland. Might be the best world. But Oakland's got to do their part. Yeah, there's lots of people have to do that.
I would see where MLB would step in is if MLB considers Oakland's offer a fair offer, and for some reason the A's are like, no, because we're not getting the most money for a buck. They might say we're not going to let you move
in. Like if they said apples to apples and Vegas was given the same type of offer because it's a fair offer, they're saying, hey, you got to take that because that's a fair offer. Don't try to milk it or try to relocate because you want to do something. If this is fair, we're going to go with it.
The only way I could see MLB stepping in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We shall see. More on that certainly coming up
from
tomorrow.
Oakland, though.
Yes.
First things first.
First things first.
Well, something else I know we're going to spend a lot more time on as the show rolls along. The NBA Finals, they return tomorrow with the Bucks back at home, up 3-2. It could end tomorrow, or we get a seventh game. And I know there's a lot to dissect, but just kind of on the surface here, Doug, it was 2-0 Phoenix. They look to be in control. The last, really, couple of games here have been, game three ended up being a blowout, but game 4 and game 5 have been very entertaining. It's exactly what I told you. Let's get down to the last minute. Let's have a 1 or 2 possession game. As a fan and not a rooting interest, I've been thrilled with game 4 and game 5.
Yeah, they have fun. They have been. They've been really good. Giannis has stepped up big, and some of the stepping up, which we'll talk about later, isn't even like scoring. It's the ability to step up by stepping back. That's kind of different, but that's what he's done in many ways. Drew Holiday, man. I'm working with players on defense. I'm pulling up some tape.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this right here. Matter of fact, I have a video clip I took because it was very simple. I think it was third quarter. Chris Paul catches the ball. It reminds me actually of who did England play in the final? England and
Italy.
In Italy. And if you watch it, you see Italy just rushing England when they have the ball, which makes them do things.
Reactionary, yeah.
Yep. But then England is just sitting back, and Italy just kind of does what they want on the field, and it's almost like playing a zone or playing more of the aggressive man-to-man. And that's what Drew Holiday did. He made him change direction. Then he kind of jogs beside him. When he gets to his point, he cuts him off and makes him spin. Now, a couple times, Chris was super aggressive, but the point is, I've made you use some power pellets.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's all I'm looking to do. You only get 4. You use the one in the corner and you use the one in the top corner. We are on you, baby. It's been a lot of fun, man.
And I think, we talked yesterday after last night, you and I said, I don't know, they play 20 times. Maybe it's 10. I just,
Yeah.
Who's better? It's razor thin. I thought the last game the Bucks had their big three play great, and Phoenix has the ball going for the win with 30 seconds to go.
Right.
So, I mean,
how about Drew Holiday playing the numbers? Like, what I mean is, I would probably, with the exception of the one game when Devin Booker went for the triple double, when he goes like that, he's going. So he played the numbers of, I'm leaving my guy. Because I know even when you spin, you're looking to get money.
Yeah. And he went in there two hands. Maybe a tie-up. If not, it squirts out.
Oh.
Now let's go. And he's thinking, I mean, at first, like when you see it live, so much is happening in real time. I'm like, I thought Booker was going to win the game.
Yeah.
Or at least put him ahead.
Right.
Ball stripped. Then you on TV, you can just see the numbers. I'm like, what is Holiday doing?
Yes.
But then you also go, well, they're up one. They got to foul you. And then that late lob, an unbelievable play.
I'm always be opportunistic.
Yeah, attack. That was good.
Even like in that, I'm talking always because there's so many times when guys get caught slipping there, turn their head to the ball. Like, always be opportunistic. If you can get over, get over. That one, and it was a flagrant foul, by the way, that wasn't called.
On Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was it intentional? Which way?
Either way,
Well, he's in the air, by definition, in a, what do you call that?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable position, I would say. His head almost hit the backboard.
Yes. Hit him in a vulnerable spot, too.
Yes, that part, which, okay, that's a different deal. And how about Giannis, man?
And then even missing the free throw and back tapping it. I mean, he didn't
miss on purpose. The back tap was
nice. Right to Middleton.
But hyperextension of the knee.
He's then, not supposed then to be playing.
You, like, if you go back and look at that when Chris Paul put, like, watch him land.
And then just
not to say that I've ever done this. Have you ever held a cat upside down and let him fall and watch him land?
I have.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. I saw somebody do it, but okay. Anywho, it is to watch him land.
You haven't done that?
You have?
Yes.
Exactly. See? I saw it done. Bro, Jay, you do that? See? Chris?
We
Chris,
care
you do
more
that?
About animals than apparently you guys do.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. You guys?
Just
he
me.
Did it. It wasn't me.
I can't remember when I did it. It was like, but it might have been like from this far from the ground. And then,
well, it doesn't matter how far it is.
They were fine.
Did you hear about
it? Or no?
Was it a myth that you heard about and you wanted to test it out?
Yeah, I had to test
it out. Oh, Jason Mythbusters, yeah. Jason. Okay.
It was true.
Yeah, it is. I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the landing of Giannis, when you think about the knee and everything, yo, we went from he probably tore something and he's out maybe for a year to he's back in the finals and most likely, with the exception of Middleton or Drew, like if they go for a huge game and these guys win, like one of those three of them scores 40 or something,
I think,
or those two score 40. Otherwise, Giannis would be the MVP.
Yeah, he's the MVP, I think.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, it's been great. I don't see anything different. Who would have thought that Dario Saric's exit would mean
something
as much as it has? I think it's really meant a lot.
I wish he was there. I actually wish DiVincenzo was there.
Bucks this would be a wrap, better. Though.
Yeah,
might be. DiVincenzo.
Might be. All right, much more for us to get to, certainly on that. Our NBA draft player profile will begin looking at potential Kings picks with Josh Giddey. That's coming up at 4.
I'm so giddy.
More on the Open. What a weekend for Colin Morikawa. We'll explain and talk about that and what his future looks like. We'll do that next here on KHTK. Back here on Sports 1140 KHTK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie.
Basically.
Checking us out on our YouTube page. We appreciate that. KHTK YouTube. Any way to reach us, you can. You know how to do it. We appreciate that. We go till 6, then the A's and the Angels will begin their two-game set. Day game tomorrow. We'll follow that around 4:30 tomorrow after just the quick two-game series. Also, over the weekend, we had our final major of the year, and it was the Open, the British Open, and it wrapped up yesterday early in the morning, and it was a very, very good day for this guy.
And with a score of 265, the winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year is Colin Morikawa.
Solid, steady, all the way through D.C., and he's got everybody that talks about him, talks about his composure, his just next shot approach, and then he's obviously got a game to match. He hadn't really played in the Lynx style course, so he's now
only
got,
once.
Yeah, he's 24 and he's got two majors.
Yeah, he is. Where is? I'll find it here. I had some notes because I thought it was quite impressive. Colin Morikawa playing old school golf. Okay, 114th in driving distance. Okay, so. I mean, he's not Bryson. Yeah, he's not up in the front. But he's 11th, let's move it in driving accuracy.
Okay, that's okay? More important.
Right? He's second in greens hit in regulation.
That's huge.
That is huge. And he's first in strokes gained on approach. Come on.
That's why he's, or that's why he won.
That's it. I mean, one of the announcers compared him to Tiger in this regard. That... Let's say his number is 162, okay? So he's out 162 yards. That's to the pin. He may be 10, 20 feet right or left, but the ball is stopping on his number most times. Mm. And he said that was so Tiger-esque in his approach, meaning that was not me this weekend. Okay, my approach shot sucked. But he's hitting his number most times. Then – what was impressive is whenever he didn't, his up and down game.
Yeah, he saved a couple.
He saved some big ones. And I'm not talking like a 3-foot putt. I mean, these things were like 10 to 12, 14 footers. And I was just like, oh, is he going to make it? Oh, man, he made it. And then he just so calm, relaxed. And part of it was he said that, like, he found a routine. Mm. And I don't mean, and this was key, I don't mean a routine. This is kind of Brooks Koepka-esque. Like, Brooke doesn't look at the big majors the same way as everyone else does. But Colin Morikawa said, listen, my routine is my routine. It doesn't change because I'm in the finals. It doesn't change because I'm in the last group. I go about it, find my rhythm, and do my thing. He found a rhythm in those last over the weekend and took full advantage of it, and it was quite impressive. Because Jordan Spieth kind of tried to shake the fence, and dude was like, "Not in my yard,
right?
Watch out."
Yeah, and I think those other, I mean, Morikawa just and solid. I don't even know if it's a fair. I mean, when you win a major, you're obviously good, and he's done it twice. He's 24. I think it was 4 birdies for the round, no bogeys.
Yeah,
so. I'm ahead.
But it was when they were, too.
Right, because he had 3 in a row, like 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
And then one more on the back 9. But he was in control of his game. It forced maybe Louis and Rahm and Spieth to get a little bit away from what their game plan was because they couldn't catch him.
Yeah, your boy, our guy, we'll say our guy, Louis Oosthuizen.
He had a tough day.
He got rattled a bit there.
He did, and he's got such a smooth swing. But
isn't
it just,
something?
And the one hole, I think that could have turned it for him when he almost hit the hole in one.
Yeah.
Hit the stick. And he still got his birdie, but it's like, okay, is this the turnaround? It just.
Yeah, but
he was off on his approach shots.
Even if Spieth is in that group, if he can see him, and they were saying that the way that they were playing, he could maybe see some of the stuff. Some of those par putts by Colin Morikawa mm-hmm. were like eagle putts, man. They,
right.
they were the weight of them was so big. I was like, ooh, he made that.
Yeah.
And. For Louis, when you talk about his smooth swing, there was they showed it one camera angle. It was just I was just like, wow,
yeah,
man, that thing is beautiful. Just on balance, finishes on balance, everything just nice. But Colin Morikawa, man, he once he put the pressure on, and he's different from, and I'm use Brooks, Tiger. Jordan Spieth is different. He's a little bit more emotional. But Colin is very unassuming. Very, hi, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
But underneath hi, how are you, is I'll rip your freaking head off. That's what I get from him. And it's it was a lot of fun to watch, man. I've watched every stroke of that thing.
And I know that every time this happens, especially when somebody gets a second one and they're this young, it's like, okay, where can they go? And the point is, I think right now, I think Rahm's amazing. Like maybe one more day of this tournament, I think Rahm maybe wins it.
Even if he had another 9,
yeah, he might have caught him.
Yeah,
he's so gifted. And has one, right? Now Morikawa has two, and he's 24. But a guy like Spieth, what do they say? It's been like 4 years since he won one, and he's got three. So, you know,
but
Rory
Spieth is like, he plays with an extra person. It's him and
you
then.
You think it's that much?
Yeah, it's he's talking to somebody.
Yeah.
I'm like, the most impressive thing about Morikawa to me, and you tell me, was the loss versus Daniel Berger.
Mm. And the recover from that.
And the recovery from that. Like, the kids never look back, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh, that's what the dungeon dark part is. That's it?
Right.
Oh, okay. I'm good with that. And he took it and internalized it in a way that, first of all, he came back quickly and got his first major victory. And just very impressive. I'm not going to do the what everyone does with, like, Brooks Koepka. Oh, he's got two. Now he's going to be the new. No, but his game is built to be around a lot.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be talking. I don't know if he'll win. He'll be in the conversation, barring injuries.
Yeah, and I think the point of where golf is now is there are just a lot of really good golfers, and I think people would start the list with, or in the list, Morikawa would jump in there. Spieth. And Rory, and Dustin Johnson, and Justin Thomas, and Rahm. And there were four majors this year, and you had Matsuyama win.
Yeah.
Phil, surprised.
Yeah.
Morikawa, and then John Rahm got his first.
And John Rahm got his
first. So, I mean, really, and the list is maybe Morikawa and Rahm of the two, but Matsuyama's really good.
Yeah.
He may never win another. Rahm may never win another one. Dustin Johnson, I mean, there's so many good golfers right now, and then when you get to one weekend, one tournament, maybe Daniel Berger wins it.
Yeah,
maybe it's,
he played really well
good.
Down the stretch.
And
I was like,
just
wow.
A few other guys that can jump in there and surprise. So none of this
Brooks
stuff is
Koepka.
Promised. Yeah, and DeChambeau. I mean, there's a lot of good golfers out there.
Yeah, I would say like
Koepka was like what top 10, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
and that I would say that's scary.
Yeah,
because he's a guy that for a while there he was. Pretty dominant.
Yeah. Or tied for sixth. Yeah.
And then he had the injury. And between him and Rahm, if they both had nine extra holes, they move right up the leaderboard.
Yeah.
And what does this do for Jordan Spieth? He kind of seemed like he found something. The only problem is you put some pressure on him and he starts talking to the guy standing next to him. I don't know what that does. His game showed up, though. I will give him a lot of credit, man. He was hitting some. Just as Colin Morikawa was knocking down putts and hitting things, so was Jordan Spieth.
Yeah. But it's, I guess, my thing, not only Spieth, but I'm looking up Rory. So he won a major in 2011, in 2012, two in 2014, and the Masters. No, that's the four. So we're now going to be on 8 years next year. And he is really one of the great golfers in the sport.
He is. Similar to Jordan Spieth, he's not necessarily talking, but he gets that look on his face like a quarterback for the New York Giants.
Phil Simms?
No.
Daniel Jones?
No. Just
Jeff Hostetler?
No, it was just there.
Eli Manning.
Yes.
There you go.
You know that you did that on purpose. You know the look that Eli gets like when he gets sacked and it's like,
what happened?
What happened? Yeah. Who did it? That's kind of the look that gets on Rory's face. And just by him walking the silhouette, I could tell you if he's playing good or not.
Yeah. There's more bounce
in
that walk.
There's more bounce to his walk. That's, and I always tell you this. That's way too much information for somebody who's really good at whatever it is that the discipline, like, oh, he's not playing good. That's the time to take a Brooks Koepka jab at somebody.
Yeah.
It's like,
my driver's hot.
Yeah. You're in trouble. Oh, that was a great putt.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. Those guys a little bit too emotional, but they're damn good.
Yeah. Good weekend, though. Congratulations to Colin Morikawa. You mentioned Eli. We're going to talk about him. Could this be part of the future of broadcasting? Peyton and Eli together in a megacast? We'll explain what that is. Will this become a regular thing in the future? We'll discuss that next here on KHTK. Back here on KHTK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie.
Yes, sir!
Coming up at 4, our first of our NBA draft profiles. The draft is almost here, a week from Thursday.
Oh, man. Yeah, here we go.
Kings have had a lot of guys in, apparently.
Yeah, there has been. I have one that I like.
Oh, well, I'll find out if it's Josh Giddey who's coming up as our first.
I am very giddy to
about
hear.
Josh? Or just giddy?
I'm not as giddy about Josh as I am about Mr. Duck.
Quack, quack.
Oh, yeah. I know where you're going.
I like him.
Yeah, okay. I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. So that's coming up at 4. We'll do this every day leading up to the draft or NBA draft player.
That was delayed for Chris. Quack, quack.
Quack, quack. I don't know if you saw this, and this could be a sign of things to come, potentially, DC, but Peyton and Eli, well, we know basically people have been trying to get Peyton Manning on a national broadcast for the NFL, whether it's Football Night in America, Monday Night Football.
You mean, what do you mean, like people, like his agents?
Companies. I just feel everybody would love to say that they've got him in the booth. He's entertaining to me.
He is, actually.
He's sharp. He knows the game, obviously. Tony Romo kind of hit a certain area that I think people are trying to duplicate. I think Peyton obviously would know the game. All these guys know the game, but could he say it in a way that becomes must-see TV? Well, no one's ever been able to officially land him in that kind of realm, but this was interesting today as former quarterbacks and certainly brothers, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning will take part in an alternate Monday Night Football broadcast over the next 3 seasons. What they've announced today is on ESPN2 for 10 games in each of the next 3 seasons will include those two, along with former NFL players and celebrities joining the Manning brothers on the broadcast. A host has not been named, and maybe they don't need a host, but we've seen some of these mega casts happen with the national championship or big events. And
so define a mega cast for me. What are we talking about? Is that like the Nickelodeon thing?
In a way. Okay. But it might be, okay, the Super Bowl is on, but you can watch it that way, maybe on Nickelodeon.
Gotcha.
Maybe there's just the audio.
Okay.
Maybe there's, like in national championships, they've done the Alabama lean, like it's the Alabama broadcast, or it's the Georgia broadcast.
Okay,
So, and then you might get 6 personalities sitting in a room watching it.
Okay.
So,
okay. And then they give
different.
Their kind of take
if
on
that,
it.
Or I remember the very first time I think this happened. So put it this way, like Michelle Beadle was more prominent on ESPN, but it was like Michelle Beadle, Jay Billis, maybe Jalen Rose, Bill Walton. And I'm like, oh, I'm watching that.
Yeah.
And I watched it for a while, and I'm like, what am I watching? But I was entertained by them watching the game, and it was all over the place. And sometimes they're, oh, what a pass, to, you know, do you like popcorn shrimp? You know, whatever. It's like
We're just having a conversation.
Yeah.
I want to see a broadcast where none of them watch football and are just talking about it during the game.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I want people from other countries that have no idea what football is.
Where these two, I think, will have to do some football. Obviously, I think there's intrigue. They know the game, obviously, and they've got their history. But maybe it's who are the celebrities? Who are they bringing in? Maybe it's, to Chris's point, someone that doesn't know the game at all, but are they interviewing them? I think it's interesting. I think it's intriguing. And then if you still want the game, then you go to the Monday Night broadcast and watch, if it's still at the time, Levy and Greasy and Riddick.
You know, just on a different note, what happened to Michelle Beadle?
I don't know.
Because she was kind of a thing.
Yeah,
and then
all over
all of a sudden, then she kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, you brought it up, so
yeah.
I just
But is that something – okay, so both choices are for you. To me, that's one I would check out. Now, do they hook me? Do they keep me? Or is it, nah, I'm going to go back to the game? I don't know. I have to wait to see it.
I was actually pleasantly surprised with Nickelodeon, Nate Burleson, and those guys.
I stuck with that.
I'm a fan, plus – fellow Washingtonian. Thank you very much.
I stuck with that a lot longer than I thought.
I did too. I would say 70-30.
Yeah,
60-40.
I would have guessed it would have been 90-10 the other way.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just check, flip through and see. And then I go, I'm kind of, this is kind of neat.
Yeah, I agree. Because they were giving me the game. And then I'm like, I kind of like this. Plus, when it's the touchdown, the whole, what do they call that?
The green slime. And celebration and the graphics.
Yeah, yeah.
And then even something as simple as, I don't know, it wasn't off-putting to me when it was, okay, oh, there's a penalty. And a penalty is when someone does something on the, you know, in a fraction, and it's holding, and for holding, it's 10 yards. And you go, well, duh. But I don't know, sometimes, it didn't bother me the way
absolutely
that they
did
it.
Yeah. And I'd pay good money to slime Chris.
Yes.
Just so we know, like, I would pay really good money to slime you, Chris.
So you think this works?
How much would you
give
me?
I don't know, but whatever it is, I'm paying.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Can we get someone on that?
please do. Yes. I think this works. I do. Plus, I think that the Mannings are going to be good.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think they'll be witty. They'll be funny. I think when you look at them, you don't think that they would venture out to lemon pepper wings and mm-hmm. whatever. But I think that they will do that. Kind of what told me was their ESPN commercial when he was like kicking him and
yeah.
stuff. That was like
oh. just even on SNL or different. They've hosted SP like just they've done different things where you go, you know what they are. They're, funnier than I thought they would be.
There you go. Yeah.
And but I think they could. They're adaptable in the point of, I don't know, you'd lemon pepper. But if they had someone that was like the world champion, hottest wing eater, like they would have them in and try something.
Oh boy.
Or a musician, or I think that's where you could get creative. And will they all be hits? I don't know. But it starts week one, including that Raiders Ravens game. They'll be their first of the MegaCast. So yeah. I'm sure I'll check it out that
way. Oh, most definitely. I'm going to tune in, and I think that it'll be a hit in many ways. What I think when you look at broadcasts and different stuff, what they're seeing is how people disseminate the information how they intake the information. So many people have cut cords, different stuff. Chris, how he watches, mm-hmm. like he'll be watching on his phone. So many different ways. This is another one, and I think it'll be successful.
I would have never thought, you know, when some of this stuff was starting to happen, not even this, but even, you know, Jay's told us stories of some of the most popular people on YouTube are kids opening presents, and they have their own channels, and then people watch other people open presents, or, you know, I'll say now that I've gotten back into baseball cards, I'll see people, like, doing breaks and open up packs of cards, and I'm like,
right.
I'm watching people open up cards that aren't have nothing to do with me,
yeah,
or people watching us on YouTube doing a radio show. It's
yeah.
just...
Do you
Things
know it's a
changed.
Very popular TV show in the UK?
What's that?
Gogglebox.
Which is?
It's they put cameras in a house, and they watch people watching TV. So it's like three or four people at home watching TV, talking about what's on TV, and that's what
so
she
that's
wants.
Reality TV TV.
Yes.
But they know they're being watched, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now I
like it's them watching the news, yeah. talking about the news.
Okay. Like if it's a game where you get a reaction or a scary movie... Maybe, but...
I'd pay for scary movie watching in your house.
Not happening.
But
I would pay.
All and Jacks are out of town.
I would pay to see... I would have paid to see your reaction to watching MacGruber.
Oh, man. Oh, listen. Well,
and is it split screen? Do you get to see what he's watching, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
Maybe we should watch something and do a watch-along someplace.
It would be good. But... I was home alone. My wife wasn't there, so you had to blur some of the screen. You know?
Why is that?
Just saying.
Okay.
I was living my best life, just okay. chilling.
But laughing at MacGruber.
Oh, man. I'm texting Chris going, dude, this is out of control. There were some parts where I can't – the parts that I find funny, I can't say. Cause,
yeah.
But we were actually talking about a couple when I first came into the studio today. Chris yeah. – very, very good.
But even watching someone watch a game, but the moment, like, it would be neat to if we all had a video of us watching the Booker with the ball, going for the win, steal, the other way, like, that would be entertaining to have a compilation of people's reactions
Actually,
to that.
What is great is the UK, they used to do this, it was called Fan Zone, where they would watch a soccer game together, and one of the people was a fan of one team, the other was a fan of the other. And they called the game, and they're just, like, heckling the hell out of each other throughout the entire thing. It was fantastic.
It's similar when I'm calling the game and they got the camera on.
Yeah,
true. I don't really – you don't know it's
– You're reacting.
You know it's there,
right.
But this is what I would do, like
– Exactly.
If me and you were sitting down.
You're probably even more
– Yeah, that's –
Because you know you're
I might
TV.
Get up and run around sometimes,
right.
But I got the headset on. And it actually happens.
Yeah.
Kyle Draper ran right out of his headset
that's right.
one time.
That's right.
So, but that's your natural – I think people enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're
right.
saying the Kings need to have a video just of you throughout the game to watch as we're watching the Kings game.
Which they kind of do.
They do.
No. We but like during the entire game to where we don't see it later.
Oh, what you're saying is like you can watch it like this.
Yes.
Like
you in a corner.
Give me 25% of that. Whatever that is, no doubt. I'm with that.
Can I get five of that 25?
You got it, buddy.
Even gestures at a, you know, referee call that you might.
Oh, all that. Yeah. You're going to get it. Because that's where all the crazy memes come from.
True.
Yes. Yeah. There's points.
Yeah.
That's why at my house, that's a negative.
What, no camera on you?
Too much going on.
Trying to make some money for you. All right, next hour coming up, much more on the NBA Finals. When we come back, though, our first of our NBA draft player profiles, who could potentially be there at 9 for the Kings.
Oh, we'll be so giddy about this.
We'll be looking at Josh Giddey when we come back here on KHDK.